Once again, I want to offer condolences to the family of Leanne. Mother, the children, the husband, the relatives of the husband, the brother is leading the music, members of the choir, and all the friends and relatives of the family. This is kind of a mother of the church gathering, I can see from all the familiar faces. I'm trying to remember Leanne myself. I don't have much personal memory of her, but Joe showed me a picture of me baptizing one of these little girls. So I certainly know the family, this one. So I baptized her about 7 years ago. Well, it's a loss. And as I was reflecting on it, because 40 days means, well, her mother told me she died on April 1st. That was Holy Week. So that means in the 40 days since her death, the whole church has been pretty much rejoicing, because the 40 days from Easter until the Ascension comes to a conclusion this Thursday, although our celebration of Ascension is transferred to Sunday, but 40 days from Easter, from the resurrection to the Ascension. But for the Dominique family, it's 40 days of observing the loss, grief. And that number 40 is symbolic of the period of trial in this world. You know it from the scriptures. 40 years in the desert, 40 days of fasting, 40 days of Lent. It represents a difficult but passing period of trial, after which you enter the promised land, after which you enter to the Easter season, after which the period of mourning ends. Now, that's symbolic. It doesn't mean that the members of the family are suddenly no longer sad at the death of Leanne. Of course, it doesn't work like that. But symbolically, it's a healthy reminder that the period of mourning does have stages in which we progressively recover. So that's what we're observing here on this 40th day since she died. It doesn't mean, by the way, sometimes people have this error, it doesn't mean that people wander around for 40 days before they can go to heaven. That I keep running into this idea. No. When we die, we meet God. When we die, we meet God. We don't wait around. God's in a hurry to save us. He's in a hurry to take us into glory. That's our faith. There's nothing in our faith that says we have to wait around. It is true that there is a purification process which can take a mysterious number of days. We don't know how that works. But even people in purgatory are in heaven. They're saved. So in case of Leanne, of course, we hope she's already fully in glory. And this Mass is offered for her glory, her eternal glory. And for consolation for the family. And as a happy birthday to her husband, and as a prayer for her father who died 32 years ago today. As I said at the beginning, many things occur on this date, May 11th. The scriptures of this day, again, we're in the later period of Easter, so we're focusing on the Holy Spirit. We're listening to Jesus in his long discourse at the Last Supper. In today's Gospel, Jesus once again mentions the Holy Spirit, calls him the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. It probably sounds familiar because in yesterday's Gospel, Jesus called him the Advocate, the Spirit of Truth. Advocate, Paraclete, the Holy Spirit. In yesterday's Gospel, Jesus said, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another Advocate to be with you always, the Spirit of Truth. So another advocate, because Jesus is the advocate, the first advocate, and the Father will give us another advocate. In this Gospel today, it says, when the advocate comes whom I will send from the Father. So yesterday it was the Father sending, today it's the Son sending. The Spirit of Truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify to me. So what we're being taught here in a difficult way, because we have a hard time understanding how we can have three persons in one God, is a person, the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, a person who comes from the Father and the Son, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who's sent by the Father and the Son, who is the Spirit of the Father and the Son, but is not the Father and the Son. He's God, just like the Father is God, the Son is God, the Spirit is God, but the Spirit is not the Father, not the Son. He's the Spirit of the Father and the Son, and he is the Spirit of truth. Jesus is the truth. So this is the gift, and it's a great gift. We're preparing for the celebration of Ascension and Pentecost. Once we hit Friday of this week, we begin a special novena to the Holy Spirit. This is the time of year when we focus especially on the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel helps us understand another reason why this advocate is such an important gift, why it's so important for us to have this Spirit of truth, because living by the truth is sometimes really difficult. Even accepting the truth is sometimes really difficult. For example, the truth about death, the truth about people who die when they're only 38 years old. That's a very difficult reality that most people would not ever want to face. But we have to face it. It's the truth. How do we do it? Not simply by being tough or being humanly strong. We do it by relying on the Advocate, the Holy Spirit. We do it with the strength that comes from God, because God has in mind something much greater than we can imagine and something that far surpasses our sorrows. Jesus mentions it. I told you this, I told you about this Advocate, I told you about this gift of the Spirit whom I'm going to send, so that you may not fall away. As if to say, I'm promising you this gift so that when you face difficult times, you'll be able to persevere. They will expel you from the synagogues. They will even think it's a serving God to kill you. Well, that's a terrible thing to think about. A terrible reality which exists even in our times, people being persecuted to the point of death. How can we face such things? With the power of the Holy Spirit. How can we endure? How can we persevere? How can we hold on to the faith? And how can we share the faith with others? By the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the good news about the coming of the Holy Spirit, which remains true even in the worst moments. In fact, it was true in Lent. We just didn't focus on the Holy Spirit during Lent. We focused on the need to be purified from sin, the need to die to ourselves, the need to take up our cross and follow the Lord. Well, those things are still true in the Easter season, but we do them with a deep joy, with gratitude to God for the gift of life, life beyond death. In today's first reading, again, we're following the journeys of Paul. I think this is his second missionary journey. He's with Silas at this time, and apparently with Luke also, because the author says, we set sail for Troas. It sounds like Luke was with them. So at least Paul, Silas, Luke, probably Timothy, because we learned in a reading a couple of days ago that they wanted to take Timothy along with them. So that's at least four missionaries. And they have crossed over into Europe. They're in Macedonia, the area we typically call Greece. Why are they doing this? Because they're led by the Spirit. They've been given a commission, and they're following not human logic or reasoning or human strength. They're being, you could say, blown by the Spirit, by the wind of the Spirit. And so they arrive in this town, Philippi. They had never been there. They didn't know anything about Philippi. When they get there, they discover that there's not even a synagogue there. It's a pagan land. It's Roman colony, but Greek culture. And so if they want to pray on the Sabbath day, it says here, they went out to outside the city gate along the river where they thought there would be a place of prayer. Well, apparently they're not the only ones who pray out there. This group of women prays there, seemingly some Jews, because it's the Sabbath day and they're praying. So probably Jewish women. And along with them is this woman, Lydia. Lydia, who's not a Jew, but she's a worshiper of God. So she's what the Jews called a God-fearer, someone who is attracted to the Jewish religion. What do we know about Lydia? She's a dealer in purple cloth, so she's a businesswoman. Purple cloth was only bought by very wealthy people or royalty. So she's, her business caters to the rich. She's from the city of Thyatira, so she's in, that's in Western Asia, in Turkey, really. And she's a worshiper of God. So she's a wealthy businesswoman who's away from her home province. She is a worshiper of God, meaning she's on a spiritual journey. She's in Philippi with others, praying with them on the Sabbath. And apparently she has a pretty big household because she's able to insist that these missionaries, I said there's at least four of them, right? Paul, Silas, Luke, and Timothy, maybe others. She insists that they stay in her house. So this Lydia is a key figure, a representative of the new way of life that comes with the Holy Spirit. Meaning she's an example for us. Now, we might not be rich businesswomen. We might not be in all the same circumstances she is. But we receive the same Spirit by the same sacraments. Now, one of the hints here, or two hints actually, but they point to the same thing. It's near the river, meaning there's water there. And whenever there's water, there can be baptism. And after the Lord opened her heart to listen to what Paul was saying, she and her household were baptized, probably right there in that river. So when we have rivers and baptism, conversion, we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filled Lydia, filled her household, and through them is filling us. We who hear the story of her profound conversion and her deep desire to extend hospitality to the missionaries, we're moved by this. We're meant to be instructed to say, well, wherever we are on our journey and whatever our business is, whatever our family situation is, we have received the same Holy Spirit by the same sacrament of baptism and confirmation. And so we have the strength to persevere in difficulties, even to be able to be hospitable to others, to go out of our way, to sacrifice our comforts and advantages for the sake of others. That's Christian life. And it's a beautiful life. It's not without sorrow or difficulty, but it's a beautiful life. It's a life that draws us into the communion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, into a community of love. It makes the church, with all our weaknesses and sins, into a community of love, a community of missionary fervor. So that's what we're celebrating these days. At the same time, we're observing the 40th day of Lent and condoling with her family. We're still rejoicing in the gift of the resurrection and the gift of the Holy Spirit.